While visiting Gifts Worth Giving at Timberlake Lodge in Grand Rapids, I spoke with Ryan Tischer, nature, fine art, and landscape photographer from Duluth. He shares with us his passion for and adventures in photography.
My name is Ryan Tischer. I'm a nature photographer. I live in Duluth, Minnesota. And I have made a living for the past 3 years selling my fine art, nature, and landscape photography. Initially, I started out selling work mostly from the area where I grew up, which is northern Minnesota, the Lake Superior region. But lately, I've branched out, and I now have work also from the American Southwest and the Pacific Northwest. And I'm looking to branch out even more, just discover new places and photograph new things.
Talk to us a little bit about what got you started in photography.
Well, when I was in high school, I took a black and white film class. I was always interested by the process of capturing, you know, light on a film. What black and white film does is it teaches you a lot about light, because you don't have so much color to look at. It's the light. It's an abstraction of reality. And so that taught me, I guess, to see things in a different way. Of course, now I work digitally, but it's essentially the same process.
What draws you to these places? How do you find and capture these specific moments?
Well, it's like when you sit and you watch a sunset over the ocean or over Lake Superior, there's that emotion, there's that feeling that you get deep inside, and it's really hard to convey that in words or explain that. And so what I always try to do is capture the emotional essence of a scene. I don't try and just capture things literally what the camera says is there, because that's never going to be true to what you feel. I use my own creative latitude, using longer exposures a lot of time. Occasionally I'll even move the camera during exposure to try and create something that's different, something more interesting. And then I process the images digitally, and I print them a lot of times on a canvas, and that gives a different feeling to the image as well.
What sort of influence did being raised in the Northland have on your affinity for nature?
I was born and raised in Carlton, Minnesota. First time I was out ice fishing with my parents was well before I could remember anything. I think I was several weeks old, and my parents already had me bundled up in a little snowsuit and hats and mittens on and stuff, and I was being dragged into the fish house. And as I got older, it was portaging and in the boundary waters, and I think as soon as I could carry a pack on my back, I was portaging with my parents. And so I think basically being weaned in the outdoors and the appreciation for natural things and the Northland, it's inspired me to continue to try and share what I see and what I feel when I'm out in the wilderness.
You mentioned you're branching out into other areas outside of the Northland, the Southwest, the Pacific Northwest. What do you hope to achieve as you bring your vision to these new landscapes?
Well, it's always a new discovery, seeing new places. You can never quite match that feeling that you get when you see a beautiful scene like the Grand Canyon, or, you know, I just went to Olympic National Park, seeing the temperate rainforest, everything covered in moss. There's just this incredible feeling that you get when you're there, and the smells and everything. And so my goal as a photographer, as an artist, is to try and convey that. You know, if I can get people to come into my booth and look at my work and feel like they're there, that's the ultimate reward, the ultimate goal for me.
Each of these photographs has a very specific title. For example, this one on the shores of Lake Superior is called Forsaken. Can you share with us the story behind these titles?
Some of them are a little more literal than others. You know, some are named after the actual location, but other times I get a little bit more, I guess, philosophical with my titles. For example, the image you pointed out, Forsaken, I captured that along Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So Lake Superior South Shore, and it's a beautiful area. If you haven't been there, you wouldn't believe the color of the water. It's like this clear aquamarine color, which you think you only see in the tropics, but it's there in the summer. I was walking along the shore. I was trying to get back to camp because there was this storm brewing on the horizon, and things can sneak up on you pretty quick when you're near Lake Superior. And I remember turning and looking as I was walking, and I saw this pile of basically rubble. They looked kind of like railroad ties with spikes sticking out of them, half covered by sand with waves crashing into it, and you could see a storm downpouring on the horizon. And I walked past it, and I walked a couple hundred feet, and I thought, gosh, I should turn around and see if I can make an image of that. And so I did. I turned around, and I set up my tripod, and just kind of waited for the clouds to move in, and then the waves were crashing in, and I captured a moment where the sun started to come out on one end and peek through the clouds a little as this wave crashed in. But yet on the horizon, you can see all the rain coming down and the storm, and it just has a lot of emotion to it. And later I found out that that pile of rubble is an old shipwreck. It was about a 100-year-old shipwreck. And so the title plays into that a little bit, kind of the idea of this forsaken shipwreck.
In all of these photographs, the color is so rich, so vivid. In your processing, how true do you stay to the original color, or do you modify it in order to convey specific emotion?
Color is very subjective. You know, what the human eye sees, what a camera is able to capture, and what the way people remember it are all a little bit different. And so I always try to stay emotionally true to the original scene with my color. Usually, yes, I do add some saturation, some contrast, because a camera always has been and always will be deficient compared to the human eye. And so I try to create an image that's both realistic but interesting and vibrant in color, if the scene was vibrant in color. Other scenes are more monotone, you know, in real life, yet they can still be beautiful for their simplicity.
In some of these photographs, it looks as though you're standing on the edge of a cliff. What are some of the experiences you've had where, in order to get the perfect photograph, you've found yourself in either a dangerous or precarious situation?
Well, I'm still here, so I haven't done anything too stupid yet. But a lot of times, I do find myself a little bit challenged. You have to think, okay, well, I want to get a great image, but I also want to be here tomorrow to get more great images too. For example, if the image of Horseshoe Bend is it's a bend in the Colorado River that does a complete 180, and it's all before you, and it's very symmetrical. In order to see it, the river is so far beneath you, you actually have to stand and kind of lean over the edge to see it, which wouldn't be so bad if it weren't a 1,000-foot drop. I'm afraid of heights, but I had already driven close to 2,000 miles to get to that spot, so I very carefully pushed myself to walk out to the edge and set up my tripod and wait, because a lot of it is about waiting for the right light. This storm was moving in on the horizon, which was the whole reason I had come back to the location, because I knew I wanted a very dramatic afternoon sky. And as the storm was moving in, the winds were picking up, especially when you're standing on the edge of a 1,000-foot cliff. The winds can pick up quite a bit, and there was sand actually blowing from underneath in the canyon, blowing up and stinging my face. I just remember waiting for the light, and I had set my camera up on the tripod literally an inch from falling off, and then the sun popped out for just a moment to illuminate one side of the canyon. And so I walked up, clenching my tripod very carefully, and snapped a couple images, and I got just the right mood and emotion and lighting for the scene.
You mentioned you have a fear of heights. What does it mean for you to be able to overcome these fears in order to practice your art?
I guess it's a good feeling to overcome it. I'm still afraid. I mean, I'm not going to be a rock climber. You know, I can go up on a ladder. That's not a problem, or walk on a roof. But, you know, I'm always aware of where I'm at. It's a careful balance, you know, being smart, but, you know, stepping out just enough to be able to get the image.
How do you find daily fulfillment in your art?
Well, for me, it's a whole process. It's about, you know, first researching where I want to go and looking at the different locations, and then going there, waiting for the right light, photographing it. But then to come full circle, I think, is to be able to present the art and have other people make that connection. And to me, the ultimate compliment is when people are willing to hand over their hard-earned money for a piece of art, a place I've been, an image I've worked very hard for. And so that's extremely rewarding for me. And to be able to make a living doing that is both very challenging, but it's rewarding too, because not many people are able to do that.
For our listeners who are interested in seeing examples of your work, where can they find it?
My website is www.ryantischerphoto.com. It's spelled RyantischerPhoto.com. You can see all of my images on the website. If you're interested, you can look at my show schedule. I have an open studio coming up in Duluth, Saturday, December 11th, and Sunday, December 12th, from 11 to 5. And so if you'd like to see some of my work in person and take a look inside of my studio, stop by. I'd love to see you. Or take a look at the website, and I'd love to see you at a show.